Okay, so last week we just did the first two psukim. We put the timing of Sefer Daniel, where Daniel happens during the rebellion of in the middle of the rebellion of Yehoiakim. Nebuchadnezzar quashes the rebellion, and he takes the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash, and he takes the officers, right, the skilled, right, the political elite and the artistic elite. And please don't do that. The elite, pick it up. You're gonna scratch the floor.
It's so heavy.
So take out more books. Take out more books. I know it's annoying, but you're doing it once.
Watch.
So he takes. So he takes.
I don't like it.
So he takes the elite out of Eretz Yisrael to weaken the people who are in Eretz Yisrael, leave whoever, and then obviously, 11 years later, you have the second galut when we drive everybody out. Okay, fine. So that's where you pick up in Pasuk Gimel. Now, what is the first thing that you would do if you are Nebuchadnezzar, and now you have these skilled politicians and artisans, and what do you do with them now?
Put them in high position.
Good, right? You put them to high use, and you're right. It's not just enough, right? Like it's a waste if you just. So that's how Pasuk Gimel picks up. You want to take it?
Sure.
We're still in Hebrew.
Gimel. Okay. Vayomer Hamelech leAshpenaz Rav Sarisav. Sarisav. Sorry. Lahavi mi bnei Yisrael u mi zera hamalos min.
Hamelucha ume.
Hamelucha.
Right, so he tells the his officers to bring these So remember, Rav Sarisav. We talked about this notion that a saris originally it probably didn't actually mean a eunuch, because you're talking about officers who are around the king's wives. So the best way to ensure that they don't do anything is to make them eunuchs. Eventually, it doesn't necessarily mean that; it just means officers because. You have the right now. What becomes clear already from this pasuk is that what is Nebuchadnezzar's goal and what is not his goal.
His goal is
right. Meaning he brings all the chashuv people into galut. So what is not his goal?
To
crush them.
Sure.
Right. Meaning. Why does he take all the officers away, all the skilled politicians and artisans and all that from Eretz Yisrael?
So that they can be a vassal.
So right, because he wants them to be a vassal, right? Remember, it's not that he wants to kill them. It's that Yehoiakim was supposed to be a vassal, was supposed to be subservient, and he wasn't.
Right.
So the first attempt at the Galut, not the second attempt at the Galut, but the first attempt at the Galut is to maintain that.
Right.
Right? Meaning, now how are you going to do that?
Just by taking away their powerful people.
No. That's half of it. What's the other half of it?
Oh, make their powerful people.
Make their powerful people.
In Bubba.
Yeah, exactly. It's to take the people who are well-respected and talented within the Jews, immerse them in the culture of Bavel, and then possibly send them back. Right? Possibly send, right, we don't know exactly how to send them back, or whatever it is. Right? It's only when that doesn't work that you... Right, the second galut, right? Kill people, get them all out there, right? This is not going to work as a puppet government, right? But the first attempt is to take those skilled people away so they can't rebel and bring them and immerse them into your culture so that they...
Babylonize them.
What?
To Babylonize them.
Exactly. So that's what you get, right? So he tells the head of his officers, go get me all these people. What does he want you to do? Or what does he tell them to do?
Eladim Asherim Bahem... Kol ma'um v'tove mara u'maskil abchol
maskilim b'chol chokhmah
v'yodeh dat u'mevine hamada v'asher koach lamod v'heichal hamelech u'lamdam asifr lashon kishtadim
u'lashon kazdim. So what does he want? He wants people who were good looking.
Yeah.
Right, that's just superficiality of this culture. Fine, he wants good looking youths.
Right. Abraham Moom.
Presumably, why does he want youths?
Because they'll grow up in the culture. They're not...
Exactly, right? They're more malleable,
right.
I would assume, right, than the... Than adults, right? You don't just take an adult, right? He knows that the adults went. So he takes the talented young men who can be molded in the culture. Right, by the way, this sort of worked, right?
Right.
I mean, think about the cultures that did this.
Yes.
Right? Meaning, England did this, right? You take, the... right? The rich people in India would come to England, right? Be immersed in culture, go back, right? And, you know, would make India a little bit more British,
right?
Right? Whether it works long term, but this is what happens,
yeah.
Right? You know, this is what you do. It's not like, it's not crazy. Is
yeah,
it?
Well, even like immigrants in America, like it's just...
Well, if they go back, I'm saying, and they
yeah.
go back, right?
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, but think about it, the way Hong Kong, right? The Hong Kong-China tensions now, right? Hong Kong was under England for a long time, and now even that it's under China, it's not a good
right.
fit, because even though England has given up control, right,
still
its culture
English.
Is still there. The people grew up. There's nothing you can do about that, right? They don't want to go back, right? So the hope is you take the young people, you immerse them in Babylonian culture, and you hope that even if they go back, they don't want to go back to being, right?
Jews.
Even if they want to go back to being Jews, they don't want to go back to being Jews of the Jewish culture, right? They are loyal, not because of fear. They're loyal to Babylon because they're... Yeah, that's how they grew up. They grew up in the palace. Right? So that's what he does. Right? So he takes these people, and he wants smart people. And what does he train them in?
Knowledge, science.
And in? No, he takes people who are smart, and he trains them in the language.
Mm.
Right? And I mentioned this before, right? That this is, I said, when Chazal connect constantly... The Esther story, the Daniel story, and the Yosef story, and the Midrashim are doing those all the time, right? There's a reason that language plays such a role in all of them, right? Remember, Chazal's Midrash. How does Mordechai figure out what's going on? Why did they not notice him, right? So pshat is, he's hiding behind a wall or something. He just, right, he overhears it. What's the Midrash?
They knew all.
He's a member of the Sanhedrin. They assume he doesn't know all the languages. He knows all the languages, right? But what's that saying? Where do they get this notion that a Jew who's in the king's court in Persia would be fluent in all the language, and that's what would give him the upper hand?
Daniel.
Where did Chazal get, I mentioned this week, right? The Midrash about Yosef, that he gets tested in all the languages, and he knows 69 of them, and when he gets to Lashon HaKodesh, Paro right, admits defeat, right? And makes him promise that he'll never tell anyone. Where does he get this notion? What are they saying, right? The Jews in the seats of foreign power... Right. One of the keys is language. Right. They get that from Daniel. That's pshat in Daniel. It's not pshat in the other books, right? Necessarily, but it's pshat in Daniel. And the midrashim on Daniel, Esther, and Yosef, as I said, are these extended ruminations on what does it look like for a Jew to be in power in a foreign government, right? Because, and why are they writing that? Why do they care? Why are they writing midrashim like that?
Because there were a lot of Jews that were in
because
power
they
in
are.
Government.
Because they are.
Yeah.
They're Jews in Rome. They're Jews in, right? Meaning, Midrash is...
Midrash, yeah.
Right, Midrash is not. Is sometimes an attempt at understanding the story, and sometimes an attempt at taking the lessons of the story through their own lives. And when you have Jews who are in Galut, and the majority of Tanakh is not in Galut, right? Definitely not in power in Galut.
Right.
But you have three stories, right? Two books and one more story, which is about that. Right, the Midrashim are going to be Chazal's way of talking. Now, it's also an important move. What are they going to do? It's not just that they're going to think about it. What are they going to do when there's tension between the stories?
Which stories?
Between Daniel, Esther, Yosef. What are they going to do? Midrashically, what do you think they're going
to
do?
Oh,
if you were Chazal...
Explain the differences.
So one is to explain the differences, or...
Or make them the same.
Smooth it out.
Smooth it out. In which direction are you going to smooth it out?
To be more uniform.
In what direction? Why would in what think about it? If you're remember Ravram ben Arambam, right? Some midrash is trying to understand pshat, and what is some midrash?
Inspirational,
educational. So if you were a Jew living in Bavel or living in Rome, and what do you right? What are you? What way are you going to smooth it out?
To make it Jews more powerful and cunning and all that.
You're going to smooth it out in the direction that explains the way you think Jews in your time should deal living galut,
sure.
Right? Meaning if Tanakh sets up three different stories which present different models. Think about it. They're very different models, right? They're very different models, right? I mean, there are certain key similarities. Give me one similarity that jumps out at you. In pshat. Besides for Jews in power.
I don't know enough about Daniel yet.
Okay, well, you'll get one in a minute.
They become
okay, good.
Right-hand.
So read a few more psukim, right? Right? Read the next two psukim then. Let's read at least two pasuk Zion, and then we'll think about it. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Vayman lahem amelech devar yom beyomo, Mipas bag hamelach miyein mishtav ugadlam shanim shalosh umiktsasam yamdu lifnei hamelach.
He gave them daily food, he gave them wine for 3 years. In the end, they'd figure out who should be in front of the king. Right, meaning, weed out the and get the best of the best. Okay, fine. Then what does he do?
Vahem mibnei Yehuda, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria. Vayasem lahem sar hasarisim shemos. Vayasem ledaniel Belteshazzar.
That's important, by the way, to distinguish, because there is a king later on in Daniel named Belshazzar. This is Belteshazzar. Okay. Those are two separate people in Daniel. I know it's confusing, but this is Belteshazzar. Yeah.
Okay, Belteshazzar, Velachananya, Shadrach, Ulmishael, Mishach, Velazaria, Aved Nego.
Right. So he renames them. Daniel's Belteshazzar, Hananya Shadrach, Mishael Mishach, Azaria is Aved Nego. Right.
Okay,
now, what similarity do you find to all three of the stories of Jews in houses of foreign power? They get renamed, yeah. Right? Because that is the ABCs of giving someone a new identity, right?
Not their real name?
No, they get a foreign name. Yosef gets? Yosef's name is?
I forgot.
Safnat Paneah, yeah, right? Esther's name is? I was looking for Esther. Her name is Esther, right? Her foreign name is Esther.
Hadassah.
You're right. Her name is Hadassah. Her foreign name is Esther, right?
Right.
Her foreign name is Esther, right? Hadassah, Esther. It's the other way around,
right?
Her Hebrew name is right. And then here, obviously, each of them gets it, right? Because that's the ABCs.
Hatach is the
now.
Name.
By the way, who doesn't like this?
The Midrash.
Yeah. What does Midrash do?
I don't know, how do you smooth this? Like, how do you?
No, so this is very smooth, right? This is very smooth. They all have the same thing. But Chazal have a midrash that pushes against this, which is?
More or less, Daniel.
Come on.
Like explaining how these are actually Hebrew names.
No. The Jews were zochel to leave Mitzrayim because they didn't change their names. Meaning, that's a problem, right? Meaning, changing your name is common to all three stories because what does that indicate? Assimilation.
Yeah.
But they have another midrash that says, but by the way, don't do that.
Right.
Right? It's not ideal. I mean, no one says this is ideal. No one claims this is ideal.
Right.
Right? This is just the reality. Now, it's true that Chazal read Daniel into Esther, literally.
Hatach.
Right? Yeah, they say he's Hatach. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, they literally put him in the Esther story. Like, you can't miss the fact that Chazal are merging these stories.
Right?
Even though it's totally not right historically, obviously. Right? They're not in the same time at all, because in Pshat, when does the story of Esther happen? We did this last year.
In the Persian era.
Like in this.
After the Beit HaMikdash started to be rebuilt.
Yes.
When the Jews already went back there to Israel.
Yes.
Right? This is way later,
Persian
right?
Era.
Right? Fine. But they all, right, you see, so certain common themes are right, these names. Good. Now, if I asked you, though, on the plane of assimilation, right? Clearly, in all the stories, there's an attempt to assimilate them. Right? That is not, right? In the story of Esther, does Esther seem to assimilate? Shot.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, obviously, she doesn't tell anyone who she is, so she can blend into Persia.
Right.
Right? In the story of Daniel, do they assimilate?
No.
Absolutely not. That's what we're about to see in just a minute.
Know.
In just a minute, we'll see that they don't. What about the Yosef story?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he clearly does. Yeah. Right? So what are you going to want to do? If you think that the Jews shouldn't assimilate, what are you going to do? Which of the stories are you going to read back into the other stories?
Daniel into the
Daniel, right? You're going to see that Daniel is going to be read back into Esther. Right? Because in Pshat, Esther, right? Not assimilates in a bad way, right? Meaning, we know that she maintains a Jewish identity at some level secretly. But, like, her primary identity, right, is assimilationist, right?
But okay, you're giving the names. In Mitzrayim, it says, Shiloshinu Shmam.
No, the Midrash says that. But in Pshat, they are changed their names. All of them. Yosef.
They changed their own names.
No. Yosef, the leaders, the people who started. Yosef changes his name, Safnat Paneach, right?
And here,
Esther, right? The three stories of Jews and foreign power,
and
right?
They changed their own name? Or
no, their names are changed, but that's part of it. Now, Daniel, though. Right, now Daniel. Now, what was the... Now.
Wait,
okay, really? This is like a chabura that we have that I did not want it to be a shear. That was why I didn't do it as a shear. I'm sorry, but no, this is right. Okay. I understand that right now there's not many people because of the fast day, but like, okay, I didn't want it to be a shear because I can't. I have enough shear room in the week, right? Okay, guys. Okay. So.
Wait, so you're saying they're going to want to make it seem more like Daniel?
Yes, because Daniel is their hero, right? Daniel is their hero. What does Daniel do?
Watch.
Clearly, the attempt to change names in assimilation is stemmed. Now, what response do we have in Yosef? Does he push back?
No.
Not that we know of. Does Esther push back?
No.
Not that we know of, right? How much does Esther not push back?
We call her Esther.
We call her Esther. Yes, thank you. We only know once that she's Hadassah, but her identity is actually Esther.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Right. Fair. Right. Right. Meaning that's how much she doesn't push back on that. Who pushes back?
Daniel.
Not in his name. He doesn't put back the name. That can't. But immediately after this clear attempt at assimilating them, what happens?
But you said Chazal.
What happens? What? Right.
What was your point about Chazal pushing back?
Watch. Look at the next pasuk.
This isn't Chazal.
No, next pasuk. No, what I'm going to show you is in the next pasuk. Now.
What were we up to?
Really, the next unit. You have to read from here until... Read the next, okay. 7, 8.
Vayasam Daniel al libo asher lo yisga al bifas bag hamelech uvyein mishtav. Vaivakesh misara sarisa sim asher lo yisgal. I don't know what that's about.
This is the important pasuk.
Okay.
So Daniel decides that what's he going to do? He's not going to eat patbag hamelech. He's not going to eat the food that he's given. Why not?
Why is it called patbag?
Good. What is patbag? Look, you have the farshim. What is patbag? Good. What's patbag?
Let's see. She doesn't say anything.
Sorry, this one we really can't pick up.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
It's possible, right? You could have said that this is not kosher. It's possible that this is not kosher. But what is pot, right? What does it sound like? Bread. So how do Chazal understand this? You guys did this last year in Avodah Zarah. I think. Did you? Yes, you did.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Then you didn't do it. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Vav, says that this was Daniel being gozer against Pasakor. Now, what are they saying? The argument of Chazal is that Pat Bagamel means he just simply didn't want to eat the food of the king.
Right?
Now, whether you say it's because it was not kosher, which is possible...
Okay, but
right?
What's the word pasbag?
Pasbag is like the food, the bread that he gave him, right?
Yeah, but
the set. It's like not exactly clear. No one really knows exactly what it means, right? You get here in the Metsudot, you'll get.
You
let's see. Right, pasbag is like. Yeah, it sounds like it's Shapiro Sham Pat Bag Pat and the Krav. So it could be Avodah Zarah food. It could be. It's just like it's the amount of bread. It's not really clear exactly what it means. Something like that. Now it could be that it was not kosher or it was a food of Avodah Zarah. Right, that's one way of reading it, right? The Malbim raised the possibility that it was Avodah Zarah food in Pshat. Right? But the way Chazal take it is that, no, he made a gzera, right? He was the first person to make a gzera, which was an anti-assimilationist gzera, which is I won't have food cooked by non-Jews, even if it's kosher, right? Now, what are Chazal doing? I mean, Daniel, what's clear in Daniel? What's pshat in Daniel?
That he was pushing back against
the assimilation. That he's pushing back against the assimilation, even though it's hard, right? That's pshat, right? That's not like, there's not a midrash. Right, Chazal, though, what do? They do two things. One is, the way they interpret it, is that he's the father of Pasakum. Right, meaning bread. Sorry, they're xerot, Pasakum, Bishalakum, that food that's cooked by a non-Jew, even if it's kosher, becomes not kosher, meaning Rabbanan, by virtue of the fact that it's cooked by a guy.
Okay?
Right, Mishum Chastos, because of intermarriage. However understood.
That last year.
Right? Okay. Right, this is true ad hayom, right? If you have a non-Jewish person in your house and comes and cooks your food, assuming it's food that wouldn't be eaten raw, and it's chashuv food, it's important food that be olal shulchan malachim, that would be eaten at a, say, a state dinner or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Part of
it's treif, right? If you don't, it's treif. The pots are treif. Mm-hmm. The kasher of the pots, right? That's how we, right? That's right. That's how it's nevzak and shulchan aruch. Right? Nanny is a big problem for this reason. Halachically correct, right? Now, is it right? And pas, right? Originally was aser. And then the Gemara says we're makil on pas palter, right? If it's by the baker, meaning it's not personal, but private bread is also aser, right? An individual can't cook you bread.
That's awesome.
Bake your bread. What?
We pass on that.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Wait. So we
do you not have entomins?
No. I thought it was the reverse, that there is no pas alchem at all.
No. There's pas alchem. There's no. We're make on palter.
I see.
Right
on like
okay. mass produced. Okay. And the question of whether by Bishul, we are not.
There's got to be, and since we're a nation of rules and clear dividing lines, how do we define mass production?
No, meaning it's not private. It's a business, right? It's a business. It's a baker.
If he's doing it for money.
Yeah, it's a baker. Mass produced. Yeah, not like
it's a caterer.
Yeah, caterer.
If you're catering an event,
so bread would be fine, right? Bread, that'd be fine, right? If he's baking bread, right? Yeah. For like,
if a caterer is producing,
caterer, interesting. Think about it. Right? I have to look it up. What we would say about it? Right? It doesn't usually come up because it's not usually how these things happen. Right? You don't usually have a non-Jewish caterer baking your own bread. Right? That's not usually right. Either we're talking about look, in Europe it's much more common that people just eat at non-kosher bakeries, right? Like not specifically kosher bakeries for that reason. It depends on the country, whether they use lard or not.
Yeah.
But what are Chazal getting at, right? First of all, in this read, right? Chazal, what are they doing in this read by attaching their gzera of Pas Akum back to Daniel?
Again,
without getting to whether it's true or not, that's exactly what he's doing. It's clear that what he's doing is saying that one of the ways that you stave off assimilation is by making a stand about what food you eat.
Yeah.
Right? And Chazal are saying, Daniel is our Avtipus. Right? He's our model. How do you deal with Galut?
So they're going to...
Right? Start setting up, right? Stand up for food. Now, by not reading it as not kosher, right? Even if it's not kosher, it's not big Kiddush.
Right.
By reading it as he doesn't even want to accept kosher food, what they're saying is that Daniel is the one
who made this. Like, we have a right to make this gazera.
Exactly. And that's the right way to respond to possible assimilation.
Right.
But that's what they're doing.
Oh, is to set up. So we established.
Possible. Right, that's how Chazal read it. Chazal, this is right, Avodah Zarah, Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph. Right? Chazal say, yeah, Daniel was... Right? They trace the gazera back to Daniel.
Right, that you have to set up.
Right? But what are they doing that's... Orders. Again, whether it's shot or not, what are they doing? Yeah. They're telling you the right thing to do when you are in a tempting situation where assimilation is a reality... is to set up divisions in how you eat.
Right? More than kosher, like above and beyond.
Above and beyond kosher.
Right?
Now, right? Again, what is that pshat in Daniel? It's clear that Daniel pushes off assimilation using food.
Right?
But
whether
it's not clear what the food
right,
was.
It's not clear whether it's about kashrus or about zara, or in fact, as Chazal say, that he just doesn't want to eat the king's food.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, why would that make sense? Now, give me a proof from somewhere else in Tanakh that would make sense. Why wouldn't you want to eat the food of the king?
Because
what does it mean to eat the food of the king?
Oh, that you're becoming part of.
Oh, that you're whatever.
Correct. Ochel mishulchan. Ochel mishulchan melachim. Right. Ochel mishulchan melach. In all of Tanakh, means you're part of his inner court. Right. You're part of his culture. Right. That's what it always means. Right. The Nevi'im who eat by Izevel. Right. Are supported by the king. Right. Because she has her lackeys. Right. It makes sense. And even right. There's clearly an anti-assimilationist push, right? That's clearly what's going on. Even if it's about kashrus, right? The fact is Daniel is taking a stand.
So
now, for
wait,
a moment,
what's the significance of the wine? It's already a daraisa thing. Like it
so,
says,
wine is interesting because wine, if it's used for avodah zarah, is daraisa. But the derabanan is that anyone that could be used for avodah zarah is aser. Right.
Oh wait. So the text wine says nothing about you're not allowed to drink wine made by a goy.
No, that's not daraisa. It's derabanan.
So we already have a specific thing here that says
and pot bag they're reading is bread.
Well,
like
is
pot.
There? Yeah. There's a non-kosher way to make wine, right?
No.
So then why wouldn't he? Okay, so not drinking wine.
No, because you could use it for avodah zarah. That's what it is. That's what the Malbim says pshat is. These were Avodah Zarah-esque.
Right.
Right? If you use it for Avodah Zarah, it becomes not kosher. Not kosher. It becomes usher because of Avodah Zarah. That's the only way to do it. You can't. There's not a not kosher way of making wine. Right? I mean, you have Truma and Meiser and stuff like that, but not in Chutz Laretz anyways.
Okay, so the point of this... No, so Pasbag is confusing, but the fact that it uses wine.
Okay, again, right. So you can read this as you can use this as Avodah Zarah, right? You could still say that's Avodah Zarah, but it's clear he's taking a stand on food, right? Now, tell me, do Chazal read that into stories where that's not evident?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Which two stories do they read that into?
Esther.
Yeah,
and,
where? Right, you all grew up with
Esther,
this.
Esther probably at the
You know the famous midrash.
Yeah.
She wouldn't eat the food. She'd only eat vegetables. Sure. Where is he going to get that from? Because that's what Daniel's going to eat. It's just seeds and nuts and vegetables. And who else did read it into?
Yosef.
When?
Do they?
Yes, they do.
When Yosef.
And it's very close to pshat, if not pshat.
Oh, in the Potiphar's house.
No.
In the king's house.
When he eats with the brothers. Separate from the Mitzrayim because the Mitzrayim can't eat with the Jews because it is Lotoiva to him because you eat their gods. But where's Yosef eating?
With his brothers.
With his brothers, right? It's almost Pshat, right? That, right? He is still eating like a Jew.
Wait, I just want to see that.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to see
true,
that.
Okay.
Right? I mean, they build up on this, but if I remember correctly, Midrash builds on it. If not, it's very close to Pshat, anyways. Right? If not Pshat.
It's got to be. It's not in Shmos. It's at the. It's going to be at the very end.
It is.
Hold on. Almost there.
Second. Get it. Right. This is. It's the second time the brothers come. Right. So it is Perek Mem Gimel.
Perek Mem Gimel.
Gracious, right?
Okay.
Wait, is it, or is it the first time? Is it the first time they come? Maybe it's the first time.
The books are just as long as the white shelves.
No, it's the second time, right? They bring them to eat.
Oh, okay, yeah, here. Found it. Okay, vayichu anashim es minha hazos v'mishnei kasef lachu be'adam es binyamin v'yikimim. Okay, blah, blah, vayar Yosef itam es binyamin v'yikimim. Es anashim habayza v'utvoach tevach v'achin ki iti yochilu ha'anashim batzahorayim.
Right, so Mem Gimel, it's Mem Gimel Lamed Bet. Mem Gimel Lamed Bet. Here's the key pasuk, right?
No, wait, but it's saying I'm gonna eat.
Look at pasuk Lamed Bet. Pasuk Lamed Bet.
Oh, really?
Vayasimu lo livado, v'lahem livadam, lamitrim ochlem ito livadam. Right, he separates Yosef, the brothers, and the Mitzrim. Ki lo yuchlun amitrim lechold ha'ivrim lechem ki toiva hi lamitrayim. Right, this is pretty much pshat, right? But Yosef is, well, it's not totally clear, right? He's separate, they're separate, and the Egyptians are separate. So he's not part of the Egyptians, not totally clear what it means, right, with the brother, right?
Well, then it's not a standing against assimilation, is because the Egyptians...
Correct, but you see how this is part of that story, right? I mean, they read it straight into Daniel, but it's also like the separation of food is actually, it's in the Yosef story, right? This is, right? Now, there's the Mitzrim, now there's the Mitzrim pushing away, right?
Yeah. Right, there's no evidence that it's the opposite direction.
Right, the Mitzvah are pushing away. Now Yosef, right, the Midrashim that talk about him keeping the Mitzvahs and keeping kosher and giving it, right, they're reading into it. Now it's much, but this one is right, it's much clearer in the Esther story where Chazal have a Midrash where they claim that she's only eating fruits and vegetables.
Right.
Right? That is from here. That's not a guess, right? Because then you get this story, if you continue here, that what happens?
What was it?
So now we're in Pasuk Tet. Vayitena Elohim et Daniel lechesed l'rachamim lefnei sarisim. This is also a common denominator, right? This is in Pshat, it's a common denominator between the three stories. All three of them get chesed in front of the king, right? Right? They find all three, Daniel, Esther, Yosef, all find favor. Get chesed. Right? They're motzei chein bechal, right? They're motzei chein bechesed in the eyes of everybody, right? That's just Pshat.
Right?
That's clear. But Yomer Sarah is, but he finds favor, so he gets to say the following way. Yomer sarizin levaniel. Yorani adonia melech asher minat machalchem vin mishtechema. Asher lama yireh pneichem zofim mina yeladim asher kigilchem v'chiyavtem et rashi lamelech. So I'm terrified. You're not going to eat and you're going to look less healthy than the other people your age. The king put me in charge of feeding you,
right,
so you'll be healthy to work for him. I can't, right? You can't expect me to not let you eat, to let you not eat?
Right.
So what does he say? Vayomer Daniel al matzar, shermina, saras aritzim al Daniel chananya, mishal vazarya. So Daniel says to the waiter, or whatever, in modern Hebrew it's a waiter. Here it's not quite, it's more the manager.
Right.
But you see why it becomes waiter. Nas not avodecha yamim asara. Fitlanu min hazero im v'nochla umayim v'nishteh. Let us go on a vegan diet. Test us for 10 days. We'll just have grain and seeds and water. And look at our health after 10 days. See, right? You know, it's like all these like YouTube videos, right? I tried the vegan diet for 10 days. How do I look?
Right.
Oh, I lost 5 pounds. Whatever, right? I tried the paleo diet. I tried this diet, right? Keto, whatever. Every
fasting,
right? Fasting and intermittent fasting. I tried, you know, I tried every diet, right? She said, try it out and tell me what I look like after. And if we're healthy and the king's not going to get angry, so then.
Let us
keep this diet. Now, he said sure. Why did he say sure? There's two reasons he said sure. One is, it's a fair request, but there's a better reason.
He can take the food.
He can take the food, right? I mean, there's something in it for him, right? Which is, he's losing the danger because it's just a test. And in the meantime, he gets 10 days extra of meat.
Right.
Right, to bring home. He gets 4 people's worth of meat, which is a big deal.
That's
a lot of money. Right? So he said, just a test. In the meantime, he can keep the rest of the food. So he tests them for 10 days. He listens. And they looked healthier than anybody else. Now, by the way, it's not just Chazal who are linking this to Yosef. Who's hinting us that this is Yosef's stories? And Esther stories. Why do you think Chazal, besides for the conceptual link, why are Chazal linking these stories? Because the words are the same. Listen to the words. Marehem tov re basar. Where's that from?
Right, like Yifastor, kind of. Like.
And the words in Yosef's, in Paro's dreams.
Right?
Brieha basar, tov mareh.
You assume too much of my knowledge of the world.
Oh, come on, go back. Right, this is how Paro describes what?
The cows.
Right, the cows in his dreams.
Right.
Right, but with good looking, with healthy flesh. Right, there's.
Yes.
Right, there are clear resonances, besides for the emphasis on all of them finding chayin v'chesed in there. Right, and all of them. And they were in fact healthier. So, and now you find it explicitly. He would take the pot bag and he'd give them vegetables. Great. Right, great. He'd give them seeds. Right? He would take it home. Awesome. Great deal for life. They get to keep halacha and he gets 4 extra servings of meat per day.
My JPS translates their own as legume.
Yeah, legume, seeds, some sort of grainy thing. Something like that. God gave all 4 of them wisdom, in all form of wisdom, plus Daniel interpreted dreams. Right? Now, by the way, if you want to know why Chazal read Yosef in, right?
Right.
You should, right? This is not a joke. It's not like Chazal made this up out of nowhere. It's the language. It's the themes. It's, right? Daniel and Yosef are people in foreign courts who interpret dreams. Right? This is not like a guess, right? This is, right? Chazal have a very good reason in this, right? When Chazal connect these midrashically, they are building off very strong indications and shot here.
It's interesting, though, that it seems like Daniel immediately, like, takes the chart. Like, it lists them in the first pause of Ayibayim, he made Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria. And then Vaisam Lamasar Zarajun, okay, and they tells you their names. Vaisam Daniel Aliba, and Daniel is the one who makes the resolution not to eat this food, and then the other three follow him.
Yes. Daniel is clearly the strongest here.
Right, sure.
Right, Hanani, right, they go along. You are right, Meyachus.
Like the whole dialogue between him and the you know, the Saris is just...
Well, the books...
I mean...
Now, I'll just read you...
It's just between them alone, and then the assumption is, oh, and then we'll feed it to all four of you.
Now, what is really the test that they're facing? Right, it's not really about Kashrus or Vodazara, right? It's not. Right, what's the test they're facing?
Their identity.
It's their identity. Now, how do I know? Right, I mean, it's obvious here that that's here. But where do Chazal read this into? Where it's not Me'achuz clear? Yosef. Because Yosef, right, you could just read it as a test of Taiva.
Sure.
Right? But Chazal, right, have a different way of it. And what do they say? Right? How do they understand it? What does she say to him? Right? Remember, she says we're destined to have children together, right? And but what does Chazal say is the way that he stands firm? What does he say?
He sees his father's face.
So he sees Demut Yokno. And then what does he say? Right? And what does he say? What does Demut Yokno say to him? There's actually words there.
Oh, you'll be out of the Shifte Israel.
Wait, what? That's in the
shot?
No.
Midrash. Here, I'll read to you. But this is Sota Lamed Vav. But Tidpaseu Bivigdo Lemor. They grab his clothes, and what do they say? His father's image came to him. Which, by the way, why did his father's image come to him?
Because he was
probably
thinking about his father.
No, because he looked like his father. Mm. We know he looks like his father. Pasuk says it. If he sees a reflection, he sees his father in him.
Right.
Right. That's part of it. Anyways. Vinitralo bechalon. That's why Chazal said, where did he see the image? In the window. Why in the window? Why didn't he just see it in his head?
Oh, Daniel was looking out the window.
No, because he saw his reflection. That's the point. Because he saw his reflection in the window. Right? And what did she say to him? What did his father's image say to him? Amar lo Yosef, atidin achecha shichtevu alavnei eifod, vata b'neihem. Your brother's names are going to the eifod. You're among them. Do you want me to erase your name from among them? Right? Batikra roezonot, and you'll be called instead, right? A prostitute. Tichtiv roezonot, you have at home? But what are Chazal doing? Right? They're saying Yosef's real test was what? Right? I mean, what? How does he get out of it? How does he save him?
Right.
It's not, oh, don't just be up, right? Don't give in to Taiva. It's, if you give in to Taiva, that is assimilation. You're gone. You're not part of your brothers anymore. Right? If you don't assimilate, your name will stay with your brothers. Why the emphasis on your name? But think about it. That's the point. Because Yosef is about to be given, right? Once he, right? A Mitri name, right? He hasn't yet. He has a name. But he's saying your name will be erased, meaning become part of Mitri culture, right? Chazal also see Yosef at some level. His test isn't just about Taiva. It's about the opportunity to assimilate. Right, and the response is, do you really want to assimilate? Because that means you'll be forgotten from the Jews. You'll lose your name.
Right.
Right. That emphasis of name in these stories is important because you see that that's part of assimilation. And that's right, really. There and right, that's their test. It's clear, their test is pure assimilation.
Right.
Right. In Yosef, it's a bit of a drash to say, oh, it's something about you'll lose your place amongst the Jews. Right, rather than it's just Taiva. But Chazal are reading into, no, you give in to Taiva, you're going to give in such a way that you'll lose your place amongst the Jews, i.e. you'll assimilate. But they're getting that because in Daniel, the story is clearly straight about assimilation. And to be fair, right, now Ramidan points this out in he has a book on Daniel, right? And he says, and where do you know that, in the Yosef story, what would give, besides for the cue from Daniel, what would give Chazal the cue that a riot might not be at a riot, it might be about assimilation?
Esther. Daniel.
So maybe Esther, but there's another story.
Hey, what?
Right, if Chazal, besides for looking at Daniel, besides for looking at Esther, where in Esther they say it explicitly, what do they say? Kasher avadti avadti. Once she sleeps with Ahasuerus of her own will, she's lost a certain level. She has assimilated, right, in some level. She can no longer go back to Mordechai. But which story do they really get it from? Come on.
Yes.
No, come on. B'not Midyan.
What? Oh.
B'not Midyan. They sleep with B'not Midyan, which leads to Avodah Zarah. Right, meaning...
Oh, you mean... Oh, the
right, meaning Chazal aren't crazy to read in the Yosef story that giving into your taiva is going to be what leads you away from the Jewish people, right?
Yeah, that's
right?
What Midian was.
Right, and that's... And where else is that? In the prohibition against intermarriage. Why are you not allowed to intermarry in Chumash?
Right, so it'll lead you to...
Right, meaning But you see how all Chazal are taking a very systematic view and saying, Yosef, part of that is not just taiva. Don't forget, this is part about leaving the Jewish people. Daniel doesn't have the taiva issue. It's just about assimilation. But these stories are all, in different ways, talking about can you maintain Jewish identity in a foreign place? That's what they're all getting at.
Yeah.
Right? And Daniel, now you're right, it's Daniel. Daniel manages to pull Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah with him. Right?
You're right. And it's maybe implied in the text that they wouldn't have done.
Good. And who says that? Chazal. Because Chazal say that as strong as Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah is, it's possible they would worship above Zazara. Right? Because we'll get to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. You'll let themselves get thrown into the fiery pit. But Chazal say, yeah, they were strong enough to give up their lives, but had they been beaten constantly, right, rather than killed straight out, they would have given in. Because what are Chazal saying?
They're not.
They're strong.
But not too strong.
But they're right. They're not impossible to sway.
Spoil the story.
Oh, right. We'll get to it. But where are they getting that from? Because Daniel.
Can you not spoil it?
Okay, look, fine.
I still don't know what really happens. I know there's some.
Okay. Fine.
Sort of,
but anyways, this is what happens. So he says, "Ulmiktzat hayamim asher amar hamelech lahaviyam." So after some time, the king says, bring them to me. He found no one as good as them. Again, it's Tanakh which is already telling you to read this with Yosef. Because does this happen to Yosef?
Yes.
Yeah.
When?
When he interpreted the dream,
and then what is
nobody else could.
Yeah, what does he say? Is there such a person? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Paro actually says those words. It's not a guess. I didn't find anyone like him. No, he literally says, I didn't find anyone like him, like the Jew in the foreign court. This is not a guess, right? These stories are very, very similar. Right? The Kol Dvar Chochmat, and remember, this is right after the Pasuk just told you that Daniel is capable of telling dreams, interpreting dreams. This is not it's not subtle, right? The intertextuality in Tanakh here is not subtle. There are sometimes where it's subtle and you're like, I'm not convinced. Daniel, Yosef being stories that have to be read parallel, there is no way of not reading this parallel. Yeah. You can't not. When the Midrashim start reading them together, right?
They're not making it up.
They're picking up a very clear textual cues, and he says, "V'chol dvar chokhmat v'inasher b'keish me'am melech v'im seim eser yadot al kol achar tumim ha'shafim asher b'mochal malchutim." If you didn't get it quite yet, right? That would keyword should throw you back to Mitzrayim. Yes, and they are 10 times smarter than the chartumim, right? If you didn't catch the Mitzrayim references there, right? You're just not listening, right? V'hi Daniel ad shnat achat l'koresh ha'melech, and he was there until the first year of. Koresh, right? So this is what
who is perhaps Daryavish?
No. Those are different kings. Daryavish, Koresh are different kings,
right? But
the Midrash says Daryavish is Koresh's son, right? Because Chazal collapse 10 generations into 4, as we talked about in misery last year. now later on, we'll see that this is what we call, what do we call this in literature? What is the formal term for this? In the next, as we will see, if you didn't figure it out, Daniel will interpret dreams, right? Foreshadowing. There we go.
Foreshadowing,
right? Meaning this pasuk is foreshadowing. You don't just say, by the way, Daniel can interpret dreams, right? Unless that's going to become important in the story. Shocker, that's going to become important in the story, right? He's going to
spoilers.
Well, yeah, this is the pasuk, right? Yeah, this is obvious. Yeah, though we will see that as much as Daniel is the one who brings his friends in, it's going to be a little bit different because we already see this, though it's going to become much more explicit later on, that part of Daniel's solution, as much as he's anti-assimilationist, what does he do with Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah? He brings them deeper into the court. As we'll see, he brings them deeper into the court. Right? That is in contrast to Yosef, who, while he is in the court, recognizes that for most people the answer is not to remain in the court, and ensures that, or what does he do?
Right, that the brothers have their own.
Right, he tells the brothers what to say so that Paro will not want them in his court. Right, so there is a significant contrast in the story. Now,
do later.
Yeah. Okay, so let's...
Oh, you guys are still doing it?
Yeah, okay. So one more point from Rav Meidan is that the Gemara has this interesting claim that not kosher food makes you less smart. Right? Oh. It dulls your heart. Then it's made them bum, I'll take them, it's made them, elevin tump them. Right? It like clogs your...
Wait, who says this?
Chazal. It's a Gemara. But Rav Meidan argues that they got this from Daniel. Well, where did they get it from Daniel? Because Daniel... Right,
the smartest them, yeah.
But the psukim seem to hang that on the fact that he insists on only eating the right food.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Right? So he thinks that this is... Right, that Chazal are getting that from here, right? That if you keep the Hilchos Kashrus, right, you watch what goes in, right, that will enlighten you. They're getting this by reading the contextual story.
My Siddur app just sends me this.
So that Hashem is waiting. Even Ben Gavra got very smart. Okay. But we will... So that's Perek Aleph of Daniel. And Perek Bet, we will see the dreams, and we will see how Daniel rises to even more power than anyone else because of his ability to interpret dreams. Because, yes, we just foreshadowed that in the first Perek. So obviously that has to come in the second Perek. Otherwise, why the heck do you tell us that? Right, obviously. That's just how these books work.